Hello, welcome to the third episode of the Folk Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about advice for new beginners in this faith, and we also have another guest on here, and his name is Ryan, and he's been practicing the faith. He hasn't been practicing the faith for very long, but he's already interested in crafts such as blacksmithing, so we wanted to get him in here. That way, he can kind of talk about his first experiences with the gods and also what maybe would have helped him more in the very beginning. But without further ado, Ryan, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your journey so far.
So my name's Ryan. I live in Indiana. My full-time job is a parole officer. So I deal with individuals that get released from prison and monitor them and make sure they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. Outside of that, I have three kids and part-time blacksmith on the side. I tinker around with about 30 different hobbies, as I found out most people do in this world. I have been following the faith and looking into the faith for about 3 or 4 months now. The first time I spoke to the gods was probably about 2 months ago. It was to Odin was the first time, and like many others have seen with Odin, it's not very much feedback with them. But yes, so I'm fairly new to the faith, but I'm loving what I'm finding, and it's actually a very good feeling I like with it.
Any of the co-hosts have any questions for him to get you guys in here?
Ryan, one thing I wanted to ask you is, so how did you get into blacksmithing, and like what encouraged you to start down the path of becoming like a blacksmith per se?
Okay, so right now, I would consider myself only a tinker with blacksmithing, to be honest. I do a handful of knives. I've done a couple Mjolnirs. I've done my own oath ring. I'm currently working on an axe out of a railroad spike. But that's pretty ambiguous. That's pretty ambitious of me, you could say. But basically, I got into the hobby because my grandfather was a farrier. So he would shoe horses and stuff like that. And when he passed away, I inherited his anvil, his forge, his hammers, and all that go with it. And I started just tinkering out of him. I remember after he passed, I felt my grandfather's presence. Me and him were fairly close, and I remember, very shortly after he passed, I wanted to make a knife to bury with him in the casket. So most people know, you get buried a couple days after you die. So I knew I didn't have that long to figure it out. I strongly remember I was looking all over the scrap metal I had from his shop, and I thought, well, how do I make a knife? And I just heard his voice talking to my ancestor's voice talking to me. Just take something bent, make it straight and sharp. And that's what I did. And so I made a really nice knife and actually ended up putting it in his casket when he got buried. But that's how I all started with the whole blacksmithing thing. And it's turned into a pretty good hobby of mine. I like doing it with my kids. My boys love making stuff. And it's a good, fun hobby for us.
I've got a question about it. So, like, obviously, because you said your grandfather had a big influence in it in the beginning, just based off of his life experiences and everything like that. Do you feel now, like, being part of this faith and everything, that it had that has some additional influence on kind of where you're planning on potentially taking that blacksmithing, tinkering skills towards as far as making things?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Before I was a Christian and there wasn't much with the ancestors, people would die and go to heaven. And with this faith now, we reach out to our ancestors and we talk to our ancestors and we get advice and wisdom from them. And I felt that with my grandfather. I really, truly did. This faith has definitely splurged from that. But definitely everything I make now for the most part is more of this faith based. I do make, I've made a couple of fillet knives for a guy that does like barbecue business and stuff like that. But almost everything else I make is for this faith. You know, I made my own little Viking necklace. Somebody shared it on the Discord channel, and it's just a Viking ship with a twist in the middle. I made that, you know, they shared it off Etsy, and I said, oh, I could do that. So I made it. I made, you know, all my own stuff that I have. I try not to buy it. I try to hand make it. And that seems more personable to me for sure.
So the question I have is, with the blacksmithing, was it a spiritual experience at first, or is that something that came later? Like, once you started going down this path, did all of a sudden that spirituality make sense, or was it something that was there you just didn't necessarily have a name for in the beginning?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I felt a connection. I felt a connection that I couldn't put a word on it. Definitely with my grandfather. I felt that connection with him. I felt the connection bonding with my sons with him, and him watching me and him just shining over me with this, you know, because my grandfather loved my sons, his great-grandsons, to death. And the fact that I can continue doing what he did with myself and with this at the beginning, I couldn't put a feeling on it or a word on it, but that's what I felt. But now it is. I had a very, very intense moment. I had a very intense moment a while back when I made my first Mjolnir, and I just made it out of scrap iron. I mean, it wasn't anything special, but there was a thunderstorm going, and it was a huge thunderstorm. I mean, lightning and thundering outside, and I'm just laying in my bed and I'm thinking about what I can do to make my own Mjolnir, and all of a sudden Thor just belts out this lightning and it rumbles the whole house. The windows are shaking and it is long, and this is no exaggeration, it was at least 30 to 40 seconds long of just this rumbling shaking through my house. And I said, well, there's a sign. So I got up, I ran out to my forge. I said, this is it. So I opened up my garage door, because I do it in my garage. I opened my garage door up so I could watch a storm. And every time a lightning would strike, I would hammer down on that hot iron. Every time. And I was just going to town, and I was kept yelling, this is for you, Thor, you know. And I live in a neighborhood, so I know my neighbors think I'm crazy as all get out, but I don't care. I got a little overzealous with my hammering there. I got into it a little too much, and it's really, really thin. But it just means so much to me that I forged this in Thor's name, in front of Thor. I felt like Thor was egging me on, almost like a drinking game with a buddy of mine, you know, egging me on, keep going, keep going. And it turned out not what I wanted it to be, but it turned out what it is. And that's what hits me most about my first one I made, for sure.
That's an awesome story, man. If I'm remembering right, I think I remember you messaging me a while back. It might have been about a month ago or so now, about stuff to do with Braggy. I don't remember ever getting any messages back. I'm just curious what kind of relationship you developed with Braggy, kind of like the god of creation, with your blacksmithing.
So, yeah, we talked about Braggy and all that I was doing with Braggy, where I made a necklace, and we had talked about it, and him a little bit on the side, just me and you talking, and I made a necklace for him, and I didn't know much about him. You know, this last video Jacob just did not too long ago is actually great information on him. I made this necklace for him because I found him to be creative. I found him to be the poet in me and stuff like that. I'm not a poet by any length of the term. But as far as the blacksmithing go, I only made the one necklace for him. I did share it to him. I shared it with him, and I wear it almost daily now. But I also reached out and I did do a song for him. I'm not a singer by any length of the term at all. I have experimented a little bit in throat singing. No, I'm not going to sing for you guys because you don't want to hear that, especially if you're wearing headphones. That'll be quite annoying. But I have been attempting to work on that a little bit for our fall gathering that we're going to be having for the northern region. I plan on sharing that with the folk then. Hopefully I'll be a little bit better by then, though. But yeah, Braggy's, I've definitely gotten in good touch with him. I like him a lot.
So do you think you're, so right now, are you selling your work like on Etsy or anything like that? Or are you just kind of selling it around the community?
Right now, I'm not at the stage where I feel like I can sell it yet. I've given my work away, not to give anything away or anything, but I'll just leave it as this, that I really love the northern folk that I've come in contact. So I'm getting a strong head count for the gathering that we're getting ready to have, but I don't want to go into too much detail about what's going to happen with that or anything just yet.
I really do think that's one of the really cool things about this community and faith. Even with our offerings to the gods, and then that translates to our offerings to the folk, it doesn't necessarily need to be anything like, I don't know, it's not like we're going to the store necessarily to buy stuff for them. It's like we can make stuff for them, and it means so much more. You know, if like with me, for example, if all I do for the community is establish these events and establish these principles and all these things so that we can have these gatherings, like that's my way of giving back to the folk. And, you know, same thing with blacksmithing. If blacksmithing is your thing, you know, that's a wonderful way to connect to the folk. And I know it's a wonderful way to connect to the gods, especially like you were saying with forging. But I know back in the day, like giving offerings of swords and things like that and craft goods was something that was very practiced. But in our modern age of, you know, not wanting to throw metal into lakes, I don't think we want to do that anymore. And so is there anything that you were thinking of as far as like connecting with the gods in a more like tangible way? Or, you know, are you kind of that same thought process like, oh, we can't really throw into lakes anymore?
Yeah, well, yeah, I totally get that. Because when I made this necklace, I was going to bury it. I actually have a very special spot to me. That's it's in a local park, and I have a whole tale about Odin guiding me to this spot when I first made my first offering to Odin, and it's very, very, very strong feeling for me. And I was going to bury it next to the rock that I used for an altar there. But then, like you said, the new age of me came out, and I'm like, well, so I really want to put this piece of metal that's going to rust and deteriorate into this land in this beautiful area. You know, it might, you know, pollute the waters or something like that. So instead, I offered it to Braggy, but in my offering, I said, I will wear this almost on a daily basis for you. As an offering to you, I will wear this as a sign for you type thing. So that's my way of offering this, at least, to him. Now, I do my other offerings with, you know, mead and fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. But, you know, tangible, hard metals, I would kind of be a little bit more leery on burying those or giving them back to the earth, you know?
Oh, I was just going to say, just thought that I had on talking about like giving the weapons and things like that, where we can't per se really throw them out in the water and things like that, like we used to be able to, just because we don't want to pollute things. Once we have the hall, there's nothing saying that we couldn't give such offerings to the gods and then put them in a, you know, an honorable place or a special place just for that god somewhere in the hall, and just let that be there and just build the gifts on top of it. So you kind of have like these big shrines within the hall with all these offerings of weapons and things like that over time.
This might get really nerdy here, but I remember when I was playing Skyrim, and I was like just kind of like going through the mountains and stuff, and all of a sudden you like come down this like hill, and there's just this shrine to Talos there, and then like around the shrine is like weapons and shields and flowers and mead, and I'm like, this is so cool. And it's like not even a spot on the map, it's just a shrine in the middle of nowhere. And I kind of picture that for the hall one day, where it's like you might have a shrine to Tyr out in the woods, and maybe that's where we can like leave swords on the altar and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just like, I think it's a really cool idea. So Ryan, one last question I was going to ask you. You did say your first moment was with Odin. So what do you want to talk about specifically what that was? Kind of like that first sign you got?
I had been looking into the faith for a while now. I had been exposed to it earlier on back in like 2011. Through the prison, but there was a certain clientele of peoples that did that type of religious faith in the prison. I won't go any deeper than that. So I wanted to steer clear of them. So then I wandered on and I found Jacob's videos. And the first one I did was the intro to Astashru. And so I wandered into that video. And from there, I started watching the videos more and more and learning more and more about the faith. So about after a month or so of learning about it, I got up the guts to actually speak to the gods and ask. And I remember I was sitting in a park, a local park. There's an area where I park my car and I do computer work for my job. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the gods while I'm doing my work. And I just step outside my car and I just start talking out loud and saying, you know, show me a sign. Show me something that I'm not crazy, that this is real. And at that time, two big crows landed right in front of my car, like right in front of me. And I was like, oh, man, because I had just learned about Odin's two ravens that he had. And me being not too well versed in animals all that much, I thought these were ravens instead of crows. Well, they're crows, but whatever. But close enough. And so I took that as a sign. As, hey, wait, that's Odin. And I was like, no, no, that's a coincidence. So I said, okay, okay, you got to do something better than that. Just two words is not enough. Do something better. Right after I said that, the second I said do something better, those two birds flew off into the woods. And the second they landed in trees that I could still see, but they were deeper in the woods, there was probably 40 crows, and they were all calling. I mean, they were just going ballistic, making noise in these trees. So I wandered down into the woods, and I followed them into it. And where they were all in a circle, like up in the trees, calling. And in the middle of the circle was this huge stone. I mean, this stone is as big as I am, and I'm a big guy. And there's no way this stone could have been moved there. It was just sitting there. And around the stone was a dried creek bed that turned and waved all around there, where there was the roots of the trees falling into the creek bed. Just beautiful area there. And it just hit me. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, that feeling of awe, of astonishment, of, oh my gosh, this is true. Like, if he were to appear in front of me right now, I would not even bat an eye. I just felt like he was there, right there next to me. And that was my first connection with Odin. I thought, oh my God, this place is special. I feel it. I truly feel him here with me. And since then, I was like, okay, I guess I'm in. I guess I'm a believer of it for sure. This was definitely my first introduction to Odin and to any of the gods. And I said, okay, that's it. So I went that day and went and got a bottle of mead and went back there and shared it with Odin. And he loved it. I definitely felt connected to him for sure. You know, it wasn't as much of like, you know, a buddy of mine sitting next to me drinking a bottle of mead or anything like that. It was more of a father figure for sure. It was almost as if my dad or my grandfather was sitting there next to me and I could just feel it. It was almost like he was watching me. He was studying me and I could definitely just feel it for sure. And that was my first connection with Odin for sure. It was very intense, very powerful.
No, that's an amazing story. I mean, and I think that's something so similar that many of us have, especially as Odin worshipers, is that following those signs and then realizing like, okay, this is real. So one thing I think will really help us transition to our next section of talking about, you know, advice for new beginners or things we've learned along our way or things we wish we knew. And the thing I wanted to start with, because this has recently happened to me and recently was an awakening. I actually, about 2 hours before this podcast recorded, got back from a camping trip. And I was out in the woods, and I mean, there was no technology. I mean, there is no cell phone reception out there. It was just me and four other pagans in the woods. And, you know, we brought all our own food to cook, hiked in the woods, you know, walked in creeks and stuff like that. So it was a great time. But at one point during the middle of the night, and this is wilderness, like it's in the mountains, you know, maybe not like full, it's like 90% wilderness. It's still pretty intense. And so in the middle of the night, pitch black, I walked down to this this stream, and I just stood there in the middle. And even a year and a half in, you know, it's for the wisdom of Odin, basically, in 2 or 3 years with, you know, the faith in general, I sat there and I was like, Odin, this is your night, you know, show me a sign, you know, like almost that childish intent still where it was just like, I need to see a sign, you know, to mark this occasion. And like I'm sitting there in the middle of the stream with a misty mountains rolling next to me with the perfect moon right in front of me glowing down on me. And it was like, do you need more of a sign than this? You know, and I feel like once you mature in this faith, it's really easy to get concerned because that euphoric rush you feel at first, the first time you feel a sign, isn't necessarily always going to be there because it becomes a part of you. This faith becomes a part of you. It really becomes a discipline and a way of life. And so before you know it, you don't get those euphoric rushes anymore. But what you find is you find these magical moments more often. But moving on with that, let's go ahead and hear everyone else's advice for new beginners. I think, sure, do you want to talk? So what you got?
Like you said, Jacob, you know, you're going to have moments where you're like, I want a sign whenever you're going out and about. Like if you're in a thunderstorm, for those of you that are Thor followers, you're like, Thor, grant me the sign. And like it just rumbles a little bit or whatever. And you're just like kind of disappointed or... You know, or it, for those of you who watch The Norse Path and his video where he talks about trying to connect with Thor, sometimes the signs aren't going to be there. And that's one thing as younger pagans like myself, we have to learn to grow with is the mature rate. Like, yes, they awaken you, but this is still your journey. You still have to walk out and go out and find things and not really look for signs, but follow your own path because the gods are going to guide you where you need to go.
I think one of my favorite things is as you mature into it, you'll go through that parts where you'll be wandering out through the woods or something like that, and you'll see something, and it'll just click with something else that you didn't realize was a sign or an answer to a question that you didn't know about yet. I've had those happen a few times. Heck, I just went through a thing where it was a hike that I went on with Jacob. And I was given the answers to the trial I was getting ready to go through before I even started it. And it took me it took me 2 months to figure it out before I actually put two and two together on all that. So there's always that part.
Yeah, it's interesting, like you said, Jacob, with maturing with it the longer, you know, because I've been really part of this full throttle, not much longer than you have in a sense, but at the same time, I noticed that when you get those signs or those euphoric feelings, like when you start to find those same feelings, when you're a little bit more mature and a little bit later down that path, it almost feels a little bit more intense at times. Because, yeah, you start to grow and you start to see these things in your, you know, for the most part, your day-to-day life, or you start piecing things a little bit you start piecing things together a little bit more quickly or more often. So yeah, they don't necessarily have that same, you know, sparks flying kind of epiphany situation going on. But there's definitely been some times where I've come across some situations recently or signs or just experiences that bring back that initial new to the faith, new, you know, experience like euphoric feeling back every now and then, but it, to me, it almost feels more intense because you're not getting as many signs as often. So it's when you do, it means that much more. It's that much more intense.
Well, the way I would look at this is, it's not so much that the signs aren't there; it's that the gods have realized that you have matured enough and you have developed enough of a relationship with them that they want to see you interpret the signs. They want to see how you connect the dots. They want to see and try you to push you to get the right answer. They're pushing you in the right direction that you need to go. But can you realize that you need to go there? Because for a lot of us, you know, being told, hey, you need to do X, Y, Z instead of this, for a lot of us, that's not going to be the right way for us to know that we need to actually do it. We need to come to this realization on our own. And that's kind of my thoughts on this is that, you know, we need to interpret our own signs from the gods. Yes, when you first start out with this faith, you know, you're looking for any sign that they're actually real. And that's that awakening moment that you have with them. And no, you're not going to get that every single time after that. But what the signs you will get will help guide you through your life and show you the right answers. You know, that's kind of my thoughts on this.
Oh yeah, and that's a great way to slide into just like general advice for people, because I think the biggest thing people, at least in my experience, you know, being someone that talks to a lot of beginners in this faith, is that I still get questions all the time where it's just like, where should I begin? What are my first steps? Which is why I wanted to talk about this on the show, but also to tell people like, look, you know, we can't hold your hand. And that's what I've been getting to tell people. You know, I show them my videos. I show them, you know, Jackson Crawford's videos. I show them Freya Nordling. Like, I give them the resources. I'm like, it is up to you to read these books. It is up to you to watch these videos. And it is up to you to go out and give these offerings. Like, I can't do those things for you. And I think that's something that a lot of people have trouble moving past, especially from a Christian background, because Christianity is very big on holding your hand all the way through the process, where, you know, paganism is not. It's like, look, here's the path. You need to walk it. Good luck. Here's a walking stick.
Yeah, that is a good point. Actually, we just had a conversation on the Discord last night with one of the newer members. And like the biggest advice, yeah, like what you were saying, is there's no set structure of, you know, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to start with, or this is what you need to learn first, or like there's no linear path for this way of life and this faith. It's like, well, yeah, like what you're saying, some of the biggest things is that I've suggested to people is, yeah, the other YouTube channels, books, various people have Instagrams that are, you know, willing to reach out and help people and teach people as they're doing things. But it's definitely, you have to do your research with this stuff. And one of my big things that I've told multiple people is, because there's so much to learn, don't try to learn a little bit of everything at once. Try to focus on one particular subject. Like, the best suggestion that I would say to start with would be learn the gods. Start learning their basic stories, go from there, and just, you know, you might feel more familiar with one god or goddess while you're reading that, and then from there you could potentially branch on to diving deeper into one particular god or goddess and potentially you know, connecting with them. But at the same time, there's no harm in learning the basics about them and then setting that down and being like, okay, I'm going to start learning about the runes after that. And like, break it up into sections. It is almost like a school curriculum in a sense of there's so much information and you have to break it up into parts. Otherwise, you're going to feel absolutely overwhelmed with the amount of information that you have to take in. So that definitely be my biggest piece of advice is take your time. Like, this is a very self-paced journey for most people. Like, there's no reason to try to learn everything and dive headfirst into, you know, and just feel absolutely overwhelmed, because then that can scare people away from this.
Baker, sure. Do you guys got anything add to the helps for newbies?
Yeah, like what you were saying, you know, going back to Christianity, as Parker said in the Discord the other night, like, I'm the living, breathing Athelstan for Viking fans in the listening to the podcast. I was a preacher who became a pagan, and this is a completely night and day difference. You know, you have to walk your own pace in this faith. You have to figure out, okay, you felt a God calling to you. Find out which God it is. If it's a Norse god, great. There's other gods out there too. Like, we have several who worship both Greek and Norse in the Discord. Just, and I encourage you though, for like the Norse, to sit down and read like the Poetic Edda by Jackson Crawford, or the Norse mythology by Neil Gaiman. That's a really good way to like kind of introduce yourself to the stories and get an idea of who the gods are and work from there. Like Ian was saying, you know, YouTube, you have the Wisdom of Odin, of course, which is probably all one of our favorites. We're kind of biased here, though. Then you have the Norse Path, like I mentioned earlier, and the Seeker of Wisdom. Those are the three main YouTube channels I go to whenever I need to learn something or want to find out something. And, of course, all three of these guys are Odin followers, so they definitely have a little bit of knowledge, not knocking any of them, because I like all three of their videos and their channels. But really deep dive and search for yourself and your own path. Take time. Don't rush into anything. Nobody's expecting you to be like Hercules from Greek mythology. You're not. You know, you be yourself and find your own path and walk it.
Something I wanted to add while I have it on my mind is cross-reference information. I think a lot of us settle on just one book And that's something that happened to me very early on, and I wish I knew this, is I bought one rune book. I bought one poetic edda. I bought one history book. And it's like you'll find very quickly that each book has slightly differing information, even with YouTube videos. You know, I say all the time, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. You know, I may have more answers for, you know, how to give offerings in a more modern sense, how to worship Odin. But when it comes to, like, Tyr, I know nothing about Tyr. And I'll be the first one to tell you about it. So, you know, I usually reference, you know, like, Tyr's daughter, because she has a YouTube. She's starting back up. We have a lot of Tyr followers in the Discord. So if I can, I try to point them in the right direction. But don't just talk to one person. Talk to multiple people, because no one here is the Messiah. No one here is the head guru. We don't have a pope. Like, there is no Bible. Like, there is so much information out there. I mean, I got sent, so from my the person that actually taught me the runes, because once again, I don't know everything. I'm still learning the runes. The person that teaches me, I asked her what books she would recommend, and she sent me a list of 20. And several of them are different languages that have never been translated to English. And I'm like, how are there this many books on the runes? And I'm not saying you need to go buy all 20 of them, but at the same time, that really should show you, you really need to cross-reference your information.
Research, really big part of what you need to do whenever you're brand new. You know, you got to read the Eddas, you got to read the sagas, everything like that. Because nobody's just going to give that information to you. Something else that you probably should look into doing is some meditation, past life regressions, things like that. And don't forget about your ancestors. And just because you may not have Norse ancestry, I don't think that has anything, you know, to stop you from doing ancestor worship or anything like it. I think we can have spiritual ancestors and physical ancestors, you know. So don't forget about them. They can help you along the way, and they can answer questions for you and try to lead you in the right direction.
For new people following this, me being a new person as well, something I've learned is that there's no right and wrong. There's no one way to do something. There's no one way to give an offering. There's no one way you have to have your altar. There's no set rules for this. If you jumped over from this, from into this religion from Christianity, you know, there is set rules. They're very strict. You know, there's one prayer you say for this. There's so many Hail Marys you give after this deed that you did wrong or whatever. But in this faith, it's completely different. You can do whatever feels right with you, whatever feels good with connecting with the gods. You're going to know if you did something right or wrong with the gods. You know, if you go and, you know, call help from Frey and you mean to call it from Freya instead, they're going to understand. They're going to know that you're new at this. They're going to understand the mistakes. And I feel like as long as you're being honest about it and everything, and as long as you're trying, then they're going to work with you. And there's no right and wrong way to do anything in this faith, really.
So one thing I want to add to that is don't trust these gurus out there. And I know Jackson Crawford is huge on this. He always says, I'm not a guru. I'm not trying to be a guru. And I feel the same. If you get into a group or you start getting into a community where someone tells you I'm right and you are wrong, instead of just trying to help you or show you information, like 9 out of 10 times if someone asks me for advice, I point them to the book and I say, find it yourself. Because, you know, no one should have – no, like I said, there is no pope. No one person is right in this faith. And really that should be a red flag for you if you go into a community and they immediately start correcting you on everything you do.
Yeah, and going back to what you were talking about, Ryan, with, you know, if you go to speak to one god and you accidentally say another one's name or you meant somebody else, yeah, they're not going to necessarily fault you for that. Because, I mean, even for those of us, like Jacob was just saying, like, he's not really that familiar with Tyr. And then I, like, from myself, for example, I haven't done anything with Odin since I first started down this path. Like, I got my sign from him, and that was pretty much it. And then I haven't had anything from him for years. And I, you know, that's okay. It's nothing wrong with that. You know, you'll have your gods and goddesses that will kind of come out to you, you know, more frequently and more intensely. And those are the ones that usually you'd stick with for the most part. But, you know, if you feel like there is another god or goddess reaching out to you that you're not familiar with, like, obviously, yeah, do your research, but then there's going to be people that can give you a very basic understanding. So best example is a lot of people in the Discord ask me about hell constantly coming up. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. A lot of people, you know, everybody deals with death in a certain way or feel that she's coming to them in a certain way. But again, like, I'm one person compared to there's other individuals in the Discord that are also followers of hell, and they may have a similar stance on her or a similar, you know, experiences or, you know, ways about doing things, but we're all going to have our own very fine-tuned differences depending on how that god or goddess reached out to us. So yeah, it's there's nothing wrong with reaching out to a god or goddess, getting one sign from them, and then not getting anything back after that, you know, for years or months or however long it takes. Just, it might not be them, it might be somebody else.
So Ryan, while we have you on here, since you are relatively new to it, and sure, maybe you can attest to this as well, what is something you wish you knew before getting into this faith, or something you wish, you know, someone had told you or wish you had when you first kind of got into it?
So for me, getting into it, I already knew there was a religion based around it and stuff. My biggest fear was finding the falling into the racist sect of it. You know, I was very fearful of people that abuse this faith to push another propaganda that they want to push, to push their own ideologies on stuff. And I'm not all about that. So that was one of my biggest fears going into all this. So starting up, I wish I knew that there are people that do take this seriously. There are people that don't follow the Nazi ideals and stuff like that with this faith. I also would like to know that there's a large group of people with a ton of information, even if they've only been doing this for a month or two. They still have a nugget of information that you may like, that may fit for what you want to do and how you want to practice. So the fact that there are people out there, the fact that they are willing to help and are really nice with this whole thing is the biggest thing I wish I knew. To sum it all up, I guess I would just say that, you know, Jacob put it best in one of his beginner videos. You're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not going through this alone. There are a ton of people out there that are in the same boat that you are. And when you finally connect with those people and talk to those people and realize that, hey, this is very real and it's really cool once you get into it.
Right. I had some of those same fears as well. Like, I knew that there was a sect out there that was like that, and I was worried about it. But at the same time, like, accepting this faith and being able to find, luckily for me, the Wisdom of Odin first, helped me out a lot, because it was freeing. It was the most freeing thing I ever experienced in my life. And I'm so grateful that I experienced it and I'm going through with this, because it was a night and day difference of who I am and who I was before I met the gods. And like, the only thing I can say, if you're new to this and you're still iffy, really do some soul searching and make sure, like, because I've talked with Jacob about it on several occasions. And if you are coming from a Christian background, it can seem very daunting and very challenging, because it's so different than what Christianity is. And sometimes you just got to take that leap of faith and jump off. And I promise you, you'll never regret it.
One thing I've been trying to put together for some time now is a history of modern paganism, a history of modern heathenry or Ossetru, whatever you want to call it, because it's relatively new. I mean, Ossetru really didn't start again until like 72 in Iceland, and then it slowly spread out of there back into Scandinavia, and then was kind of picked up by the hippie movement really here in North America, and was kind of birthed from that. And so we've gone through a couple phases already. And I've been kind of trying to dissect when those phases were, what were the significant moments, because we're definitely, I would say, in phase three. And that's been a very interesting one. It's very, very new. But I think we can learn from the past. Like, I call them the old guard for a reason. I think the people of the past, without them, we wouldn't have this faith anymore. Without the people that restarted this in Iceland, we would not have this. And I really think that was phase one. And then phase two, we learned a lot of mistakes. Phase two was the phase of ego, and we're still dealing with that. It's where people were starting these groups and they were formalizing, but they were letting them be led by one person or two people. Like they were so infested with this ego. And I think that's what led to a lot of this white supremacist ideology, the Nazism, but also just like the ego in general, where, you know, people were, it was about them. It wasn't about the gods. It wasn't about the folk. And I think, you know, we learned from that because all those groups broke off, stopped growing, or completely capitulated. Like, you know, it was a horrible time for a lot of these groups, and I think that's why we retreated to online. And now we're in this new phase where it seems like we've realized our flaws, we've realized the past, and we're really starting to come together as a people. So I think this is a really exciting time to be a pagan because there are hundreds of new people every day. I can say that as someone that sees the analytics, someone who runs a YouTube, someone who runs an Instagram account, hundreds of people are interested in the gods every day. And that is amazing. That is so exciting to hear because that was not true 20 years ago. That wasn't true 5 years ago. It's true now. And so this is really a wonderful time. You know, as Ryan said, there are a lot of people out here. You're definitely not alone. So don't let the mistakes of the past fool you. You know, white supremacy and racism, those are mistakes of the past. Those are the sins of, you know, the people before us. And we're trying to make up for that. And we're trying to make a really wonderful community. And I think we're really going to succeed at it.
Most definitely. And another thing, for those of you who are new, I know Jacob's recommended this several times, but do start an Instagram. There are a lot of great pagan people on Instagram. You know, you can follow. We can plug in ours here. You know, Ian's is Desert Pagan. Jacob, of course, is the Wisdom of Odin. Vigbjorn, Caleb, and mine is Big Shirt, KS. And then from there, you can find all the other people in his community and just reach out. There's all kinds of things you can find and learn on Instagram, from motivational quotes to help you get motivated to follow the gods to routines or like offering ideas to craftsmanship if you're into crafts like Ian and Ryan here. But definitely search on Instagram. You can find a lot and gain a lot of knowledge and information on there.
Definitely. I feel like Instagram is basically like the pagan social media of the world because I think we've got like the biggest presence there out of any of them, or at least that's where we have the best presence. Because you start looking on Facebook, you've just got all the groups that a lot of us find when we're brand new. And it's, you know, all you get is people just telling you you're wrong or that this is what, you know, not like, well, you don't really get people telling you why you're wrong or explaining to you why this is whatever. They just tell you you're wrong and then they move on and you never learn anything from it. And you don't really have that with Instagram. There, it's a lot more of people trying to help each other. And then when you get into things like Discords and everything else, then you get a more tighter-knit community to build on and grow from.
I should also add that when talking about other communities, I'm not saying that some communities have not worked. There are communities out there that have become well-established, have succeeded, but they completely are undernumbered compared to the amount of groups that have failed. It is something that is part of our past that we cannot deny, is that a lot of groups have not succeeded. And that will continue to be true. But we are learning from every mistake we make. And I think that's something any community should be proud of, is that we are learning. I do want to add on to the Instagram thing. If you do create an Instagram account, you know, definitely reach out to me. If there's one thing I'm going to try to maintain, it's sharing the Instagram's accounts of people that create pagan specific Instagrams. I'm not going to be able to, you know, the days are coming where I'm not going to be able to message people back. It's getting there slowly but surely. You know, at best you get one or two messages from me nowadays. But I will try my best to always share pagan Instagram accounts because I feel like the moment I do, like, you get like 100 followers almost immediately. And I think that's awesome because it immediately gives you such a great support network. And I should also add, I don't think I've even brought it up once while in this podcast, because I've assumed a lot of people listening are people that have watched The Wisdom of Odin or the people that are in the Discord. But as we get more people in the show, you will hear us mention the Discord moving forward. The Discord is something I offer to my Patreon community. So if you are interested, it is available at the $5 a month Patreon membership. The reason we do that is because discards are not easy. They are an incredibly hard thing to run and run well. They are a prime example of groups that have burned and failed very quickly because it can really get out of hand. So we try to maintain, you know, a decent amount of people in there. I mean, we have 170, even keeping it pretty tight knit. I can't even imagine what it would be like if we opened it up to the general public. But we try to run a really, really great community. And if you haven't already, you know, like we've talked about, please check out, you know, Wisdom of Odin YouTube. I have a lot of videos I've made specifically for people that are starting out in this faith. And as Sherd have mentioned, the Norse Path, the Seeker of Wisdom are really great places to go. And of course, you know, if you Google Asatru, you're going to find, you know, a lot of great resources such as Bjørn Bull Hansen and Jackson Crawford as well. Is there anything else we have for the community, guys? We could talk all day about the subject, but is there anything else in a 1 hour episode that we think the community needs to know about starting in this path?
The only thing that I think that would be left for us to throw out there for new people to hear is just don't be afraid to fail, because you're going to. And I'm not meaning to, you know, you have to, there's ways that you can actually fail and you can screw up, but just because you say the wrong name of something, or maybe you give the wrong offering, or there are some people out there say that you should always burn things, or that you should always put them out in nature to rot away, you know, return it to the earth. Those are just things you have to figure out on your personal relationship between you and the gods as to what you need to do. And as long as you're doing good with that, nobody can tell you that you're wrong.
You are wrong. You should burn everything.
That's just you being a pyromaniac, though.
So, especially in your living room, right?
I know, right? Yeah, I need to stop lighting in my house.
I burn everything that isn't fruit.
Yeah. I just picture Jacob with a giant hearth in his living room, just like staring into the fire. Just.
or beer, then I burn it. If it's fruit, I let it rot. If it's beer, I just pour it out.
Now, I like to burn alcohol just because it kind of explodes a little bit, but maybe I am a pyro. I don't know.
You are. from the gathering videos that I've watched, and you dancing around the fire, and you just, whoa, yeah, you're a pyro.
All right, well, gentlemen, let's go ahead and wrap this up, video up. So, everyone, thank you for taking time to listen to us. Thank you to Baker, Sherd, Ian for being here as always. But, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here. It's been a real treat. And when you eventually get an Instagram, we'd love to plug you. But until then, best of luck with your blacksmithing. We can't wait to see what you make with it.
Outstanding. I'll be sharing it on the Discord, so definitely join the Discord.
All right. Well, everyone, please check out the Wisdom of Odin on YouTube. Please check out Instagram. Get on there. Tell us about your pagan accounts. But until the next episode of the Fullcast, and until the hall, skull.
Skull. Goal.
Yeah, look at that. We're getting better.